Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
And welcome, everybody, to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm Jim Dolan, your host. Well, we have a request, and that's kind of great because we don't get a lot of them. I'm going to tell you later how you can request here on the RTC Weekly Download. But we didn't have a request, and it's for Groucho Marx and Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel. Now, this is a very rare program. I know that the BBC did recreate the show from scripts in the 90s, 80s, 90s. I'm not quite sure exactly when, but they did that. And we have a couple pieces of the real thing here, starring Groucho Marx. So first, we will play the second half. Unfortunately, we don't have the whole program on this, but we have the second half of episode 25, this from 1933, and it doesn't have a name, but it sounds pretty good. Let's go ahead and listen.
Hello? Oh, I'll tell him. Mr. Flywheel, the author of Blood and Bullets is on the phone. He says he has another gangster story.
Flywheel, that's wonderful.
He says you can have it for $15,000.
$50,000? Tell him we give him $35,000.
He said $15,000.
All right, then tell him we give him $6,000.
Now, wait a minute. He won't take $6,000. We ought to offer, let's say, $9,000.
All right, let's say $9,000, but we'll offer him $6,000.
We must get that story. Miss Jones, switch the call to my office. I'll talk to him there.
Very well. Hello? Yes, send them up. Some gangsters are coming up for that part in the gangster picture.
You talk to them, Flywheel. I'll be in my office. I must get that story.
You're looking for some gangsters?
Talk to Mr. Flywheel. I'm very busy.
All right, Gorilla, sit down. What's your name?
My name is Cutthroat Evans. That's a very pretty name.
Come on, Cutthroat. Let's see how tough you are. Take a sock at Ravelli.
Sure, I'll take a sock at him. I'll knock him through that window.
Hey, wait a minute. You'll break that window and Blitz won't get mad.
Ravelli's right, Cutthroat. I'll open the window.
Ah, cut the stalling. Do I get that acting job or not?
Well, first we've got to see if you can act. I'll try you on a couple of lines. Ravelli, hand me that play.
Hey, this ain't a play. It's a cookbook. It says omelet on it.
Omelet? It's Hamlet, stupid. Never mind. Here's another script. Read this, Cutthroat. Begin here.
All right. Ah, sweet, sweet, my heart cries out for your bitter sweet love.
Wait a minute, that isn't the way a gangster talks. I don't think he's the type. Ravelli, throw him out.
Okay, boss, get out.
Ah, you guys, hey, let go of my dick.
Grant.
Next.
That was me. I'll take the job.
What's your name, tough guy?
My name is Joe Martin, but they called me the Killer.
That's a finer. Sit down, Killer.
I'm sorry, Killer, you're not the type. You look too old with your mustache.
Don't worry, boss. I got a razor. I fix that. Come on, Killer. I shave it off.
Hey, wait a minute. Let go of me.
Remain quiet, Killer.
Don't move. I get him off.
Ow!
Hey, Killer, have you been eating ketchup?
No.
No? Well, then I must have cut you. There you are. No mustache, and you look 15 years younger.
Let me take a look at him. No, Killer, you still won't do for the part. Now you look too young. Throw him out, Ravelli.
Okay, boss. Come on, though.
Take it easy, you guys. I came here to get a job as an actor. And if I don't get it, there's only one guy walking out of this room alive. And that guy's me.
Well, in that case, Ravelli, give him back his mustache. He's hired.
Wants to see you in his office.
I should go to his office? Why can't he come here? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll meet him halfway. I'll meet him in the hall near the staircase.
Well, he said that he wanted you to come.
Flywheel. Oh, that gangster will be the ruination of the studio. I'd drop the whole production if we hadn't shot 30,000 feet of film. The director tries to tell that murderer what to do, and he smashes the camera over the director's head. I try to interfere, and he says he'll kill me. What shall I do?
Why don't you fool him and commit suicide?
You don't seem to understand. He said if I go out on that set, he'd put a bullet through me.
He did, eh? Well, he can't scare me. You go right out on that set. If he kills you, I'll have him thrown out of the studio.
Maybe I ought to get some bodyguards.
I'd do more than that. I'd get some mudguards, too.
Yes, I think I'll hire a bodyguard.
No, that wouldn't do. In that case, you'd have one fella trying to attack you and one fella trying to defend you. That's 50% waste. Why couldn't you be attacked by your own bodyguard? Your life would be saved, and that'd be 100% waste.
Just what are you getting at?
I anticipated that question. How does an army travel? On its stomach. How do you travel? In an automobile. You see, you're saving your stomach. But the movie industry is too important for us to sit here and talk about your stomach. Now run along. I want to see if my picture's in any of the movie magazines.
Why aren't you out on location? I pay $5,000 a day for the right to use that big jewelry store just so we can get some realism into our holdup scene. Why aren't you there supervising?
Well, I'm waiting for Ravelli. He went out to borrow a broom.
Hello, boss. How you feel, Blitz?
Where's the broom? Didn't they lend it to you?
Sure. The lady next door lent me one. But she say I have to use it right there. So I stay there and sweep up her floor.
Well, that's a fine thing for a movie executive, sweeping a floor.
Yeah, I like it fine. I always sweep up for my wife. I treat her like an angel.
Like an angel? You haven't bought her any clothes in 5 years.
Well, angels don't wear clothes. Anyway, last week I buy her a new dress, but it don't fit.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
I think I get a different wife.
Mr. Ravelli, I have something to say to you. Please tell me why you hire 28 girls for the part of the cabaret dancer when I told you I wanted just one girl. Nice, sweet, demure.
Well, demure the merrier. Some joke, eh, Blitz?
My name's not Blitz. It's Blitz.
Well, I was in a hurry.
Why do you gentlemen stand here idling? I have a mob of 500 people waiting at the jewelry store on the corner for our big hold-up scene.
Ravelli, he's right. Let's get going.
I'll stay here. I don't feel safe around that killer Martin.
Hey, Blitz, if a nicer-looking girl calls up and asks for a sweetsy-eatsy-daddy, don't you talk to her. She means me.
Come on, Ravelli, and stop drooling. There's work to be done.
Work? Then I stay here.
You're coming with me, and remember, all I'm asking from you is a little common sense.
You could use some, boss.
There's the jewelry store down the street.
Boss, I'm too tired to walk. I think I'll take a streetcar. Does it make any difference which car I take?
Not to me, it doesn't. Here we are. Let's get through these ropes.
Hey, you fellas, you can't go through those ropes. This street is roped off for the...
See here, officer. You're probably saving, aren't you?
Sure, yes.
Well, place my coat. Get out of my way, or I'll get another bird. I've got to get through this crowd.
Hey, officer, that's just a flyway. You better let me go.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
Oh, Mr. Pipe, you'll give the thing he got me. Directed
to... Killer Martin broke another camera over his head.
Oh, he did he? Where's Martin? Killer! Martin!
I don't mind.
Killer, we've stood for about enough of your horseplay around here. From now on, I'm directing this picture.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah? Now remember, I'm not afraid of you. It'll take three guys like you to lick me.
Three guys, huh?
Well, in a pinch, I guess you could do it alone, but it would be much easier if you had three.
I get this, Flybeel, and get it straight. Nobody tells Killer Martin what to do. One peep out of you, and I'll break every bone in your body and tow you right down that sewer. Now, you got any to say?
No, I think you covered about everything. Let's get going.
Sure, let's go, boss. I'm sick of this picture anyway.
And another thing, Flywheel. That's a fine dame you're putting this picture. She won't even let me kiss her.
Well, you can hardly blame her. Did you ever get a look at that kisser of yours? Ravelli, get Martin a hand mirror.
We ain't got no hand mirror, boss. But I can get him one for his face.
He wants to be a lover. Look at that scar on his forehead.
Yeah, I think he bit himself, boss.
Nonsense. How could he bite himself away up on his own forehead?
Well, maybe stood on a chair.
Come on. Come on, quit the...
Ravelli, you work the camera. I'm going to rehearse the love scene with Miss Winter.
Hey, what do you mean you're going to rehearse it? Ain't I going to play it in the picture?
That's the whole point. You get your chance later. Why can't I have a little fun now? Don't you think I'm human? Oh, Miss Winter.
Yes, Mr. Flywheel.
Just to get you in a romantic mood, how about you making a little fuss over me? Sort of a rehearsal?
Oh, but Mr. Flywheel, there's no love scene in the picture.
No, we don't have to put it in the picture. We can just rehearse it. However, if you're going to be snooty about it, I can get along without you. I've got a wife almost as nice as you.
Hey, boss. We better get another camera.
Why?
The killer wants to hit you with this one.
He does?
Yeah, but I'll talk him out of it. I'll tell him to use a club instead.
Ravelli, get the cameras ready. I've got to take this scene.
Okay, boss, I'll go.
All right, Miss Winsome. You stand right by the window here. Killer, you run into the store, grab the jewelry, smash the glass door, and dash out. When Miss Winsome sees you, she screams, and you start choking her. But you get away. Ready? Light! Camera! Action!
Okay, I help you.
Who hit me? Who hit me?
I got him, boss. I got him.
Ravelli, what's the idea of smashing the camera over Martin's head? You spoiled the whole scene.
Well, it serves him right, the liar. He hits that nice lady app, he promises to hit you.
Ravelli, this studio isn't big enough for both of us.
That's all right, boss. We're going to make the studio bigger.
Come on, everybody. We've got to take this scene again. Property man, put the jewelry back and handle it carefully. That's real jewelry and it costs a lot of dough. And you, Ravelli, no matter what happens, you stick with the camera. You understand?
Leave it to me, boss. I'm a summer wise guy, eh?
Ready? Light? Camera? Action! Hey, Martin, where you going? You forgot to choke the dame. Kill her! Where you running to? Come back with that jewelry. Stop him, Ravelli, stop him.
This time I don't get a fool, boss. I stick to the camera.
He's running away with the jewelry. He's getting into a car.
Oh, boy, this is going to be some picture.
You idiot, Martin just got away with $30,000 worth of the jewelry store's diamonds. That wasn't part of the picture.
That wasn't part of the picture? That's the fine, then. Everything is all right. There's nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about? Why not?
Well, I forgot to put film in the camera.
Been entertained tonight in the Five Star Theater by Groucho and Chico Marx in the three-act comedy Flywheel, Seister and Flywheel, Attorneys at Law. Keep your seats, ladies and gentlemen, for Groucho and Chico will be back in just a moment. The Five Star Theater is sponsored by the Standard Oil Companies of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Louisiana, and the Colonial Beacon Oil Company. Through 30,000 SO stations, which form a network of convenient service to the motorists, all the way from Maine to Louisiana, these companies supply the public with the products of the world's leading oil organization. On June 2nd, we will place a new product on the market, which will be an important milestone in motor fuel history. Watch for announcements of this new product in the newspapers. Or better still, go to your nearest Esso station or dealer on June 2nd and find out for yourself. Groucho and Chico are out on the platform again.
Ladies and the gentlemen, I want to tell you about a little hunting trip I was on last week. I take some worms.
Take some worms? Just a minute, Chico. Didn't you say you went hunting?
Sure, I went hunting for a place to fish. But it was of no use. I don't catch nothing.
No?
No, I don't think those worms were trying.
Keep on talking, Chico. It's great for my insomnia.
You got insomnia? Why don't you go home and sleep it off?
Chico, your mind's wandering.
Yeah. I'm wondering what that new product is that Esso stations are going to bring out next month. It couldn't be sardines, huh?
No, it's probably something you put in your automobile.
Well, when I went fishing, I put two cans of sardines into my automobile.
Well, I'm different. The only thing I ever put in my car are Ethylube, that hydrofine motor oil, and Ethyl, which is more powerful than any gasoline.
You're satisfied.
No, I'm going to say it now. Good night, ladies.
Good night, ladies. Good night, ladies.
This concludes our Monday night five-star theater show, which features the famous Marx Brothers, Groucho and Chico. They'll be back again next Monday at this time. Be sure to listen to the five-star theater production of Charlie Chan, which you will hear on Friday night at this same hour. Strike Me Pink was taken from the production of the same name. Who Cares was from Of the I Sing, and Wonderful was from Funny Face. Your announcer, George Hicks. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Flywheel Shyster and Flywheel on the Weekly Download. We have another episode here, actually the only episode that is full. It's called The Ocean Cruise. It's from 1933, from 5/22 of 1933, and we're going to give that a listen. It's a little bit rough audio, but it's worth it because it's Groucho Marx. Let's listen.
The Five Star Theater presents Groucho and Chico Marx. Five Star Theater is sponsored by the Standard Oil Companies of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Louisiana, and the Colonial Beacon Oil Company. Through 30,000 SO, spelled ESSO, stations, which form a network of convenient service to the motorists all the way from Maine to Louisiana, these companies supply the public with the products of the world's leading oil organization. Now, before we go on with the program, the sponsors have asked me to make a special announcement about gasoline. Between now and June 1st, you will be reading and hearing many claims and counterclaims about new motor fuels and new gasoline. You will be bombarded with advertising superlatives. In the face of all this, we want you to know that this organization will maintain its position of leadership in the oil industry. On June 2nd, we will place a new product on the market, which will be an important milestone in motor fuel history. This new motor fuel is a challenge to all gasoline. Monday night is comedy night in the Five Star Theater. We're about to hear those Mad Marxists in another of their three-act comedies concerning the adventures of Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel, attorneys at law. Both are coming onto the platform now, dressed just as you remember them on stage and screen. Groucho with his little black mustache, red tie and frock coat, Chico and his bushy hair, little green hat and corduroy coat. Our officer conductor, Leonard Joy, is lifting his stick, and the show is about to begin.
Before they have a chance to get ashore. Place the ship again.
Aye, aye, sir.
Hey, Flywheel, wake up. We've got to get out of this lifeboat. They're still looking for us. Boss, come on, get up.
That's fine. Here I'm dreaming that I'm having a nice $2 dinner and you have to wake me up.
But Flywheel, the boat's landing.
Never mind, go wait till I finish my dream. Oh, now where did I leave off?
But we're at the dock, the pier.
Dock pier? What do you mean, dock pier? I'd rather have light pier. Let me go back to sleep. My dinner's getting cold.
Hey, maybe you can dream me a ham sandwich. I haven't eaten in 3 days.
3 days? Why, you've only been on the boat 2 days.
Well, I didn't eat yesterday, I didn't eat today, and I'm not going to eat tomorrow. That makes it 3 days.
Quick, step down on the lifeboat. There's somebody coming.
Good. What are you doing with those bags up here on this deck? You can take pardon, sir. They belong to Sir Roderick Mortimer.
Oh, that African explorer. Where's he been the whole voyage? I haven't seen him once.
How he keeps to his cabin, sir. He's very shy. Wants to be the last man off the boat to avoid the wet waters on the dock. Asked me to put his luggage up here out of the way till he's ready to get off there.
All right. Pile it up by that lifeboat there. Out of the way.
Yes, sir. Take pardon, sir. They laid hands on those two stowaways yet, sir.
No, but we'll get them when they try to get ashore. When we do, I'll see that they get theirs as safe.
Hey, Flywheel, they said we'll get dessert. I think I'll take a prune.
I wouldn't, Ravelli. Prunes aren't what they used to be.
No?
No, they used to be plums. But that's neither here nor there. We've got to figure out how to get ashore.
I know how to get ashore, boss.
You do?
Sure. Look, I say to myself, how we get out of this boat? And the answer come back, we walk on. Then I say to myself, how we get off of this boat? And the answer come like a flash, we walk off.
Nice work, Ravelli. Now ask yourself, how are we going to get by all the ship's officers that'll be guarding the gangplank looking for us?
Oh, no. I only ask myself easy questions. Hey, there's nobody around. Let's get out of this lifeboat.
Okay.
Hey there!
Look, there's an officer. He's seen us.
I'll talk to him. You pick up 6 or 8 of Sir Roderick's bags laying over there and try to look like a passenger. Oh, Captain.
I'm not the captain. I'm the boatswain's mate.
You're his mate? Well, I hope you're very happy together. Give my regards to the postman. Come, Ravelli, bring that luggage.
You know, you fellas look just like a couple of stowaways we're looking for. Well, we just heard the opposite. We heard of the stowaways who look just like us. One is a little fellow with an Italian accent.
Well, it can't be me. No one ever said Flywheel was a little fellow with an Italian accent.
And the other is a tall guy with a black mustache who talks a lot.
Well, I know talker so much.
Hey, postman, how do we know you're not the stowaway? You've got a black mustache and you talk too much.
Have you seen any suspicious-looking characters around here?
Nobody but you. Why don't you throw yourself an iron? Come, Ravelli, bring that luggage. Unless I'm very much mistaken, and I usually am, the gangplank is down this way.
You don't look right around here. I'm going to see the captain.
Hey, Flywheel, I think he's got a suspicion.
Well, hang on to those bags and shut up.
Passengers,
line
up to the gangplank, one at a time. Take
those
miles.
Gangway, gangway, please.
Wait a minute. May I ask what's your rush?
You may ask, but I bet we won't know the answer. Keep moving, Ravelli.
Hey, who are you pushing?
I don't know. Who are you?
I'm the captain.
Well, then I must be pushing the captain.
Well, we don't speak to underlings. Get me the general. If he isn't around, I'll talk to two colonels.
Hey, there's something fishy about this. How did you tramps get on this boat?
We thought it was a tramp steamer.
Oh, you did you? Well, you're not going to find it so easy to get off. Now stand away from this gangplank until the passengers leave. I'll attend to you later.
Graham, I do believe it's Sir Roderick Mortimer.
Quick, Ravelli, the cliff.
No, Sir Roderick. I know you have a reputation for a retiring nature, but you can't fool me. I see your name on your luggage.
Oh, stop your snooping.
But I'm Mrs. Rivington, and I'm expecting you down at my Long Island home for a weekend.
Don't be a piker, madam. Make it a month or we can't do business.
A month? Oh, lovely. Oh, Sir Roderick, the honor overwhelms me. Well, are you going to get off the boat? My car's waiting for us on the dock.
Lead the way, Goldilocks. And would you mind carrying some of these bags? They're very tired. On second thought, never mind the bags. Carry me.
Pardon me.
Now what are you going to beef about, Captain?
I want to apologize, sir. I had no idea you were Sir Roderick Mortimer, the explorer.
Well, it came as a surprise to me, too. Come on, Ravelli. You too, Cluck.
Cluck? No, Ravelli. If you call me a Cluck.
Sure, that's because you're cuckoo. you're a cuckoo, Cluck.
Now, Ravelli, that's no way to talk to a lady.
Well, show me a lady and I'll talk different.
Well, here we are on the dock. Now, my car is right through the beachway.
I beg your pardon, sir. I'm from the customs. I'll have to examine you.
Anything to oblige. What do you want me to take off? Did you ever hear me take off Marie Chevalier? If an nightingale could sing like you, the thing must be the...
I mean, have you got anything to declare?
I declare, I'm getting pretty sick of you all. Any more questions?
Open up that big bag.
Very well. Saravelli, open that big bag.
All right, I open it. Hey, look.
What's in there?
I don't know, boss. It's a green and looks like a big spaghetti. Must be a green spaghetti. Hey, it's a movie. It's alive. Look, it's a snake. Look out. It's snake, boss. Hey, that big one, they're almost bit me.
Quick, find out which end is his face and slap it.
All right, flip that bag before the snakes escape all over the dock. That's all right. We don't want them anyway. But they're dangerous.
And I'm sure we don't want them. However, I haven't time for this idle chatter. Close the bag for this pet, Sarabelli, and let's scram.
Okay, so flywheel.
I'm coming, Sir Roderick. My car's waiting.
That's fine, babe. We'll hop in your car. You can follow on foot.
Sir Roderick. Three of your monkeys are loose on the boat.
Monkeys are loose? I'll get a monkey wrench and tighten them up.
This is Mrs. Livingston's residence. The Fetcher speaking. So, Mrs. Livingston is now showing the mansion and the grounds to Sir Roderick Mortimer, and I believe Sir Revelli. Yes. Goodbye.
Oh, my minnows, have you seen Sir Roderick?
Hey, madam, I thought you were showing him the estate.
I will, but never mind. He's coming in. Well, Sir Roderick, how do you like my little home?
Oh, it's not so bad. Wait a minute, come to think of it, it is pretty bad. As a matter of fact, it's one of the foulest looking dumps I've ever seen.
Why, Sir Roderick?
Madam, you're letting this place run down. And what's the result? You're not getting the class of people you used to. You're getting people like yourself now. I'll tell you what we do. We'll put a sign up, place on the new management. We'll set up a 75-cent meal that'll knock their eyes out. After we knock their eyes out, we can charge them anything we want. Now, sign here and give me a check for $1,500. And I want to tell you, madam, with this insurance policy, you are provided for your little ones and for your old age, which will be here any day now, if I'm any judge of horseplay. Hey, boss!
Sir Roderick, there's one question I'd like to ask you. What is that little man to you?
You must know, he's a pain in the neck.
Boss, you tell her this old war horse I gotta have a new room.
A new room? Well, what's the matter with the one I assigned you? It's the best room in the house.
Yeah, but the snakes are running around up there.
What? Snakes in your room?
Say, Mrs. Livingston, maybe the snakes can stay in your room.
Oh, no. Those snakes would never stand for that.
There you are, madam. You can see that he's nobody's fool. Possibly because nobody wants him. And see here, Billy, what's the idea of going around looking as if you're stuck in your clothes?
Well, I do sleep in them.
Well, the least you can do is have my shoes repaired. I can see your toes sticking through them.
What do you repair shoes with?
With cowhide.
Huh?
Cowhide. Hide. You know what hide is? A cow's outside.
A cow's outside? Well, let her come in. I'm not afraid.
I beg pardon, madam.
What is it, madam?
The gentleman from the press are here.
Tell me.
Yes, madam.
If you wouldn't mind making a small statement for the press, would you?
No, as a matter of fact, I prepared a small statement. Revelli, where's that statement?
Here it is, boss. She owes us $14. That's for our time. If we had a good time, we could have done it cheaper.
The gentleman from the press.
The reporter from the Star here?
I'm from the Star.
Well, I want you to go back and tell your editor I don't like your paper. It's no good. Every time I sleep under it in the park, it gets all gone.
Now, Roderick, I'd like to ask you a question.
Hey, first I ask a question. Why does an Indian sleep with his head toward a fire?
All right, Mr. Bones, why does an Indian sleep with his head towards the fire?
To keep his wig warm. Some joke, eh, boss?
In a word, no.
Sir Roderick, what do you think of marriage?
I think marriage is a noble institution. It's the foundation of the American home. It's a hands and forces. It was put over on the American people while our boys were over there. You've been asking a lot of questions. Now, let me ask you one. When are you jokes going to get out of here and let me go to sleep?
Mrs. Rivington, your guests are assembling in the drawing room.
Oh, I'm afraid I shall have to ask you, gentlemen, if the press will excuse us.
Oh, Sir Roderick, one question before you go. Do you believe in clubs for women?
Only in self-defense.
Come, Sir Roderick. Afternoon.
Oh, no, you don't. You go first. I've had that one pulled before. You're not going to kick me.
Well, all right. Just as you say. Oh, look. All my guests are seated. They're waiting for the lecture to begin.
That's funny. I can't wait till it's over.
Oh, Sir Roderick, I thought before dinner you wouldn't mind telling us a few of your African experiences.
Why can't we skip Africa and get right down to dinner?
Now, Sir Roderick, you wouldn't throw me down, would you?
Well, I couldn't do it alone, but if Revelli helped, I could make it.
Wait a minute. I'll introduce you. Now I would like to introduce Sir Roderick Mortimer, the famed African explorer who has kindly consented to tell us about his latest trip to Africa. Sir Roderick.
I'm here to tell you about a great and mysterious continent known as Africa. Africa belongs to the hunter, and he can have it. Well, sir, we left New York drunk and early on the morning of February 30th. After 15 days on the water and 6 on the boat, we finally arrived in Africa. We had once proceeded into the heart of the jungle where I shot a polar bear.
But, Sir Roderick, I thought polar bears lived in the frozen north.
Well, they usually do, but this one was anemic and he couldn't stand the cold climate.
Why, you see, Mrs. Livingston, he was a rich bear and he could afford to go away in the winter.
See here, Adela, you take care of your animals and I'll take care of mine. From the day of our arrival, we led an active life. The first morning saw us up at 6, breakfasted, and back in bed at 7. This was our routine for the first 3 months. We finally got so we were back in bed by 6:30.
But, Sir Roderick, you promised to tell us about the wildlife in Africa.
Oh, so I did. One day, we were out prospecting. We got wind of a herd of goats. Let me tell you that it's an ill wind that passes a herd of goats. And the following morning, while standing in front of the cabin, I bagged 6 lions.
Bagged 6 lions?
Sure, he bagged them. He bagged them to go away, but they kept hanging around all day.
Now, children, and I'm referring now to Ravelli's brain, the principal animals inhabiting the African jungles are moose, elk, and nycticebas. That's big game. The first day, I shot 2 bucks. That was the biggest game we had. Of course, you all know what a moose is.
Sure, I know what a moose is. A moose runs around the floor, he eats peas, and gets chased by the cat.
Now, as I was saying, the elks are different from the moose. The elks stay up in the hills most of the year. But in the spring, they come down for their annual convention. It is very interesting to watch them come to the water hole. And you should see them run when they find out there's only a water hole.
Sure, sure, you bet they run. Why, those elks are looking for us in alcohol.
Ravelli, I sure left you in the lifeboat. One morning, I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I don't know. Then we tried to remove the tusks, but they were embedded in so firmly that we couldn't budge them. Of course, in Alabama, the Tuscaloosa. We took some pictures of the native girls, but they weren't developed. But we're going back again. Now I'd like to pass around my hat, but I'm afraid I wouldn't get it back.
A very enlightening speech, Sir Roderick.
Would you like me to run through it again, or would you like to see my ape man, Mr. Ravelli, swing from the chandelier? Personally, I'd like to see him swing. Is there a piece of rope in the house?
Mrs. Rivington! Mrs. Rivington!
Look now, Meadows, constantly we're being entertained.
You old flatterer.
Mrs. Rivington, I just heard that a lion has escaped from the circus down the road. When last seen, it was heading in this direction.
What, the circus?
No, the lion, sir!
A lion, too? Oh, how fortunate it is we have Sir Roderick Mortimer, the most famous lion hunter in the world, with us. You'll know what to do, won't you, Sir Roderick?
Absolutely, but I don't think there's room under my bed for all of us. You bet I'm here. If you think I'd go outside, you're crazy.
Madam,
is the lion captured?
Madam, we have searched the ground thoroughly. We find no trace of it anywhere. No doubt the circus people have captured it by this time.
Oh, what do you mean? Now, I hope you won't let this silly fair spoil the party for you. Come, there's no danger. Now, let's all go out in the garden. The roses are lovely in the moonlight.
Hey, flywheel. Flywheel, where are you?
Are they all gone?
Yeah, boss, they all went out in the garden.
Come on, Ravelli, through this window. We'd better scram before the real Sir Roderick shows up or that Rivington dame finds a rhinoceros for us to play with. Well, here I go.
Hey, boss, where are you?
Jump, you fool.
Here I come. Hey, flywheel, I think I land on somebody. There's somebody under me. I wonder who it is.
You take your foot out of my mouth, I'll tell you who it is. It's me. Hey, Flywheel. Something's coming. It can't be us. We're going. Quick, down behind this bush.
There it is, boss. You know what I think? I think it's a hippopotamus.
No, but you're close. It's Mrs. Remington.
Where?
Where?
Oh, Roderick. Well, why are you over on this side of the house? All my other guests are in the rose garden.
Well, madam, Ravelli and I weren't satisfied that the house was safe, so we thought we'd take the shrubbery.
Did you find anything?
Sure we did. We found 3 dozen hairpins and 5 empty gin bottles. But don't be discouraged, madam. We're on the job. We'll find a full gin bottle if it takes all night.
Now, wouldn't you like to come and tell my guests some more of your African experiences?
No, I want to talk to you here. Oh, Mrs. Rivington, you know you're just the kind of a girl I crave.
No.
You've got beauty, charm, money. You have got money, haven't you? Because if you haven't, we can quit right now.
I'm fascinated.
That's funny. I'm fascinated, too. Right on the arm. Ravelli, I'll thank you to mind your own business. Thank you. Mrs. Rivington, ever since I've met you, I've swept you off my feet. Oh, there's something on my mind, something burning in my brain, something on his heart.
What is it, Sir Roderick?
Will you wash out a pair of socks for me?
Sir Roderick, I'm surprised.
Well, it may be a surprise to you, but it's been on my mind for months. Oh, it's just my way of telling you that Ravelli and I love you. We want to marry you. How about it, my shrinking violet?
Shrinking violet? Say, it wouldn't hurt her to shrink about 30, 40 pounds.
Why, gentlemen, you leave this speechless.
Well, see that you remain that way. Now, after we three are married...
Oh, Lord, but I can't marry you. I've got a husband already.
There you go. I'm always thinking of yourself, and what a dreary subject that is.
But you don't understand. If I married you, that'd be bigamy.
Yes, and it'd be bigamy, too. It's big of all of us. Let's be big for a change. I'm sick of all these conventional marriages. One woman and one man is good enough for your grandmother, but who wants to marry your grandmother? Nobody, not even your grandfather.
Oh, this is all perfect nonsense. Take me back to my guest.
Well, I'll take you back to your guest, but they're probably just as sick of you as I am. Ravelli, you wait here. I'll be right back.
I think I lay down. Who's there?
Maybe that's the flywheel coming back. Hey, flywheel. What's the matter, flywheel? You got a sore throat? Hey, it no sound like flywheel. Must be a rabbit. That's the biggest rabbit I ever saw. But that ain't a rabbit at all. It's a big yellow... That's so funny. I never saw a dogger with a fur collar before. Hey, dogger, what's your name? Come on now, no back talk. Say, maybe he's a lost. You lost, doggy? Say, I think I take him back to Miss Dim for a present. She always wanted a lap dog. I bet this dog got the biggest lap she ever saw. Hey, doggy, 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 come here. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I ain't going to hurt you. Come here. Nice to doggy. Nice to doggy. Oh, you're going to get tough, are you? Now, Rover, you're going to be good. That's the fine. Sometime when I ain't hungry myself, I give you a piece of liver. Hey, I'm tired of sitting here. Come on, Rover. I take you up to the house and I show you the flywheel. I better like you. Come on, I'm telling you. That's the fine. You walk right behind me. All right. Come on, Rover. March.
Ravelli, where are you? It's important.
Here I am, boss. Quick, we've got to run. The real Sir Roderick has arrived. Mrs. Rivington is making a fuss over him. Is she fickle?
Okay, boss, okay. Lead the way. I run with you.
Come on, Rover.
What's that?
Flywheel, I got a bigger surprise for you. We got a new dog. Come here, boss.
Dog, nothing. That's the lion. Run for your life.
The lion.
Look out, Ravelli. He's coming after us.
Come on. What are we waiting for? Faster, boss. Faster.
Are we getting away from him? You look. I haven't a heart.
Flywheel, he's running after us. Go home, Rover. Go home.
Hey, he's still coming.
He must like you, Ravelli. I don't know what he sees in you.
Maybe he sees his...
Ravelli, I can feel his hot breath on my pants.
Hey, flywheel, look what's in the driveway. A kind of a cage on an automobile. It must be the lion's cage. I guess they brought it over from the circus.
The door of the cage is open, Ravelli. If we can get in there, we're safe.
Okay, boss, jump.
Quick, Ravelli, slam the door.
Well, we just made it, boss. We're safe.
What a narrow escape. They say me building escapes narrow these days.
There goes the line, boss, down the driveway and over the gate.
All right, now we gotta get out of here. Open this cage door.
I can't, boss. It's locked. Hey, Flywheel, here comes the Mrs. Rivington with a couple of men. Maybe they could help us out.
Why, I'm afraid he got away.
I wonder which way he went, the rat.
It wasn't the rat. It was a line. He went out the gate.
Oh, look. There they are, both of them. In there.
Well, I'll be darned. What a break. Come on, Mike. Get up in the driver's seat. Let's get going.
Okay. Hey, where are you taking us? We don't want to go back to the circus.
Circus? Say, buddy, this is a patrol wagon. You guys are going to jail.
Jail? Hey, boss, I wonder if we'll get our old room back.
Say, officer, do you happen to know if there's any mail there for Waldorf to come see Flywheel?
Entertained tonight in the Five Star Theater by Groucho and Chico Marx in their three-act comedy, Flywheel, Sister, and Flywheel, Attorneys at Law. Keep your seats, ladies and gentlemen. The Groucho and Chico will be back in just a moment. The Five Star Theater is sponsored by the Standard Oil Companies of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Louisiana, and the Colonial Beacon Oil Company. Do not forget, on June 2nd, the sponsors of this program will place a new product on the market, which will be an important milestone in motor fuel history. This new motor fuel is a challenge to all gasoline. It is a product of the world's largest oil laboratory. Watch for announcements of this new product in the newspapers. Or better still, go to your nearest SO, spelled ESSO, station or dealer on June 2nd and find out for yourself. With tonight's program, we bring to a close for the season the Monday feature in the Five Star Theater. Throughout the winter, the sponsors have been presenting, for your pleasure, a wide variety of the best radio entertainment it is possible to assemble. The world's leading comedians, great opera and concert singers, stories from the pens of America's leading short story and mystery writers, symphony and popular music, all have appeared in the Five Star Theater. If you have enjoyed these programs and would like to have the Five Star Theater back on the air in the fall, we would appreciate hearing from you. Groucho and Chico are out on the platform again.
Ladies and the gentlemen, the broadcast season is over, and I want to say we were to having some fun here every week.
Just a minute, Chico. Don't say having some fun. Say having. Pronounce the G.
All right, all right. G, we were to having some fun. And now, radio audience, I want you all to come to my house for dinner tonight.
Chico, do you know what you're doing? You're inviting millions of people, and your house is only big enough to hold 10 or 15.
Well, maybe some of them can't come. Hey, Groucho, how about you coming over to dinner tonight?
Dinner tonight? You couldn't make that tomorrow night, could you?
Why tomorrow night?
Well, because your wife has already invited me over to your house for dinner tonight.
Yeah, she likes parties and things, but I'm a different. I'd go away forever on a month for a land on a ranch if I had the money.
Well, if the ranch were far enough away, I'd give you the money.
That's the fine. I can go on a ranch and ride a horse with a little esso.
Ride a horse with a little esso? You're crazy. You ride in a car with esso, which is more powerful than any gasoline.
I didn't say esso. I said lasso. The rope you make in a loop.
You mean lasso loop?
That hydrofine motor oil?
Well, we came out even on that one. Good night, ladies.
Good night.
night, ladies. Good night, ladies.
Keeping with the Groucho Marx theme, this time is from Command Performance, one of the programs done for the boys in World War II to listen to while they were on the foreign fronts. This one's called Station Marx, and let's give that a listen. This is from 1947.
Tonight, Old Command goes educational for the benefit of PFC Roy's, pharmacist's mate Al Reddick, and all the others who wanted more dope on how not to run a radio station. We take you again to the half-watt station, MARX, and its president, owner, manager, director, producer, writer, and listener, Groucho Marx! Mr. Marx, where are you?
I'm in the newsroom.
Mr. Marx, do you have a girl in there with you?
Of course not. I'm reading the latest flashes of those North American flying saucers.
If you don't have a girl in there, what was that?
One of those South American dishes. Don't bother me. I got to take care of the latest development.
Trish, Mr. Marx, you leave me alone.
Well, there's one development that didn't work out well. She's gone after I spent all that money showering her with gifts. Well, that's life. Another dame, another dollar. Say, Aberback, can't you do something about my radio fans?
Groucho, there was a very pretty girl here just now with the Groucho Marx Club.
That's what I mean. If I hadn't ducked, she'd have hit me with it. Well, don't hold back. What's new here at the station? I've been out studying dramatic parts.
Oh, stop. Groucho, I saw you at the burlesque show. You were staring at the stripteaser's hip.
Frankly, I can't think of a more dramatic part. It was disgusting. First, she took off her coat and threw it out. Then she took off her glove and threw it out.
Then what happened?
I don't know. They turned off my X-ray machine and threw me out. Hey, we're about due on the air. I've got it. Hello? Oh, it's Finnegan, my stupid writer. How can you get some ideas? Use my system. Go see my girl. When I look at her, I get all kinds of ideas. Hello, station MARX.
This is Muscles Maloney. I got a flash for your sports program. Today I took the discus and I threw it 5 miles.
5 miles?
Ain't I wonderful?
Congratulations, Maloney. You certainly can throw it. Oh, Maloney, will you hold the phone a minute?
Yeah.
That's good. I wouldn't want you to drop it. Aberback, we got to get today's program lined up. Where's my loyal secretary?
Yeah, she's practicing singing. You know, in her spare time, she does a lot of other radio work, and tonight she's on Command Performance. That girl is going places.
I know. Since she scrubbed herself with Drano, there's no holding that girl. Well, what do you know? Here's my secretary now, Martha Tilton. Have her back, miss. You applaud every time she takes off her coat.
Hello, Groucho. I've been preparing a song for Private Joe Bernay in Tokyo.
Well, Martha, what are you doing after work tonight?
Reading a book. It's a case of the mind over the material things. Mm.
Well, how about tomorrow night?
Sorry, Groucho. Mind over material.
The night after?
Mind over material.
Ah, what a waste when it's such wonderful material. Well, let's hear the song.
Chababa, Chababa, Chihuahua, Angelava, Kukalaguma. Chababa, Chababa, Chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. Chababa, Chababa, Chihuahua, Angelava, Kukalagumba. Chababa, Chababa, Chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. All the stars are in the sky, ready to say goodnight. Can't you see your doll is sleepy too? Close your drowsy little eyes, Mama will and Jalawa Kukula Goomba. Baba Chababa Chihuahua, my bambino, go to sleep. See your dolly sleepy too. Close your drowsy little eyes. Mama will hold you tight while she sings a lullaby to you. Chee baba, chee baba, chihuahua, in Jalawa, kookala goomba. Baba, chababa, chababa, my bambino, oh my bambino, go to
Well, Martha, now back to business. Did you make out tomorrow's program schedule?
Yes, Chief.
What is it?
19 hours of Jump and Jive Records by Stinky Finnegan and his Dirty 30.
Followed that's by... not Slinky, that's Stinky Finnegan. He's been trying to duck that word all afternoon. And me, too.
Followed by 3 seconds of public service features.
Really? What's the public service?
We smashed the record.
Now, there's a girl with a head on her shoulders. If she'd only put it on mine. Martha, take some dictation. No, here, on my knee.
Why, Groucho, you want me to write on your knee?
Yes, we're all out of paper.
Well, all right. What note should I take?
Take Do, Re, Mi. They're good enough for Lily Pons. They're going to be good enough for you. Ah, Martha, my Lilton Tilton, you can't write, you can't read, you can't take dictation. Sometimes I wonder why I ever hired you.
You do, Groucho, honey, darling, lammy pie?
Yeah, but stick around. I'll think of something. You know, I admire your taste. You look very good in that skin-tight flesh. Would you care to step into my newsroom and look at my teletypes?
Hey, Groucho, are you trying to get your face slapped?
Well, that isn't exactly what I had in mind.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Station MARX is on the air with a Flugelmeyer department store program. Flugelmeyer's special for today is Acme Girdles.
Ladies, do you feel that you're losing your pep?
When you take off your girdle, do you feel a sudden letdown?
Rush out and get an Acme girdle. It gets to the seat of your troubles.
Yes, try the Maxwell House model. It's good to the last droop. Friends, the Acme girdle is all rubber. It works the same non-skid way as an inner tube.
Right. This lady is now wearing an Acme rubber girdle, and... my gosh, lady, is that all you, or did some kid get fresh with a bicycle pump?
I like an Acme girdle. It won't roll over, won't shrink, won't creep up.
That's good.
But be sure not to sweat. It melts.
Acme girdles cover a wide range. That is, they come in sizes for...
the slender type.
The average type.
The plump type. And...
for the carpenter, Max, we need a new doorway again. And now for Flugelmeyer's health exercise, conducted by your pain in the neck and mine, Muscles for A.
Well, thank you. Okay, everybody, stand up straight. You two mocks and have a back.
Oh, all right.
Up straight, up. Stick out your chest, up. Stick out your arms, up. Pull your stomachs in, up. Grab your pants, quick.
Something told me to wear suspenders.
Okay, bend over, touch your toes. Hey, are all you guys touching your toes? Come on, do like I told you.
But Muscles, this is so silly.
Never mind, do like I told you.
All right.
This little piggy went to market.
This little piggy stayed home. This little piggy... Fly
Flash, we interrupt this program for a news bulletin. An important story from Austria.
However, as none of us can read Austria, we return you to the program.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Groucho Marx Symphony Hour. Now the MARX musicians tune up. Conductor Marx steps on his podium.
Ouch! Why do I keep stepping on my own podium?
The maestro raps for attention. The musicians are on the alert. And they play a record by the AFRS Orchestra, Rio Rita.
Say, Groucho, station MARX is really doing fine. I wonder how many listeners we have.
I'll find out. I'll call the Hooper Survey. Hello, have you taken a telephone pole lately? Well, it won't do you any good. You'll never get it inside the house. Now, let's get on with the program.
Hello. I'm Raymond, your host. Won't you come in?
Well, here we are at the kiddies' corner. Usually occupied by Uncle John Marks. Little Oscar Grindle, age 6 1/2, with... Send our beloved Uncle Don a wonderful bouquet made up of 4 roses. Now, if little Oscar will go to the Palladium on his birthday and stick his head under the 4th table to the right, Uncle Don will kick him in the snoot. So today we present...
Uncle Ignatz Reads the Funnies. Let's drop in on Studio A, where Uncle Ignatz has just opened up his fresh new copy of the Sunday Times. Take it away, Studio A.
Tune in next week when Uncle Ignatz again reads the funnies. Time after time after time. When you hear the musical note, it'll be awful late. The time now... Yeah, my watch has stopped. You got the time, Abner?
No, Lum, you got the time.
Oh, guess we start. Friends, if anybody out there knows the time, will you give us a ring? We ain't going no place.
Now, MARX presents the famous program, Truth... or Consequences. Brought to you by Gilhooly's 32 Oil and Hair Tonic. Insist on 32 Oil for your hair.
It's taken directly from a Chevrolet crankcase that hasn't been drained since the winter of 32.
And Gilhooly's ketchup style hair tonic grows hair on any part of the body.
Ladies, give Gilhooly's hair tonic to that boyfriend with a clammy hand. Tell him it's hand lotion.
Will I be satisfied with the result?
Lady, you'll be tickled.
Kill Hoolies will grow hair on the billiard ball.
Right. Drop in someday and we'll shoot a hairy game of pool.
That's Gil Hooley's, the tonic with the truthful advertising.
Check. Gil Hooley's hair tonic is not made in a fancy factory. Gil Hooley doesn't have men in white sitting patiently in laboratories.
Gil Hooley's ketchup-style hair tonic happens when two dirty bums throw tomatoes at each other in a sewer in Little Casbah, New Jersey.
Gil Hooley's hair tonic is never touched by human hands in a modern bottling plant.
Correct. Gil Hooley leads two old mules into the sewer and beats them with a tired banana. They kick Gil Hooley's tonic into the air. Six greasy monkeys catch the stuff in bottles and carefully seal them with War Surplus bubble gum.
And remember, if your head itches...
Watch it, you wash it, you schmo.
Now here we are at the Truth and Consequences, and here's the poor sponsor's consequence, Groucho Marx.
You mean there's still time for a program?
Yeah!
Hiya, students. Hi, y'all. Who's our first contestant?
This is Will Scott, Your Honor.
Oh, yes. And Mr. Scott, what did you get when you came up on the stage?
A black eye. I didn't have a ticket.
And it's positively superfluous. You already have two pink ones of your own.
Hey, if I win...
I mean pink tickets, not ours.
Hey, if I win, what'll be my prize?
Well, huh? Mr. Scott, how would you like a 24-hour date alone with Betty Grable?
Oh, golly, I'd love that.
So would I. Well, back to the program. Would you like to win a piano?
Oh, that has a nice resale value.
Or a Cadillac?
Oh, that has a nice resale value.
Or a house?
Oh, that has a nice resale value.
Well, what would you do with Lana Turner?
Oh, that has a nice...
You haven't told the truth. So you must pay the consequences.
You missed me.
What's my consequence?
Well, you see that room right off the stage? In that room, we have a perfectly harmless lion. His teeth are out, and he's a household pet. All you have to do is to go into that room and stick your head in the lion's mouth.
Are you sure he's tame?
Positively. We've got a guarantee. Now, go ahead.
Well, all right.
There goes our guarantee.
Groucho, this is awful. We got to stop doing that.
I know. These belt buckles are so hard on his stomach. And who are you?
I'm Marcy Lou Tilton, honey. How are you all?
Fine, honey lamb, fine. How's all of you? I'll answer that. Fine. What'd you get when you came up on the stage?
A pinch. I turned my back to the usher.
You turn your back and you'll get another. And also, you received a Hoover vacuum cleaner, the Errol Flynn model. It whistles as it barks as it chases the maid. Marty Lou, honey lamb, why did you wear that dress to a broadcast?
Why, Groucho, honey, I can be seen anywhere in this dress.
That's what I mean. Well, back to the show.
Well, goodness, Groucho, honey, I bet you're going to ask me a big, horrid question.
Well, not right now, honey lamb, but later on I'll ask you a pip. Or if all goes well, I can have a pip ask you a Martha Tilton.
Well, I think I all had better leave.
Now, don't get saucy, Tilton. I could lick you with one hand tied behind my back. Well, just don't stand there, Rabbitback. Tie one of her hands behind my back. Marty Lou, if you win, you get a furnished apartment.
Groucho, honey, if I lose, what's my consequence?
You are young. Well, here's your question, sweetheart. What is the difference between shaking hands and kissing?
Gosh, Groucho, honey, I don't know. What is the difference?
That's a wonderful answer. Stick around a while. I got to order a brand new consequence.
Next, Groucho, is Miss Tilly Lumplocks of Bustle Stuffer, North Dakota.
Just a minute, Bub. I'm going on next. Kindly announce Abe Burrows.
Mr. Burrows, what's your occupation?
I'm a radio writer. I've written for Rudy Valley, Duffy's Tavern, Joan Davis.
Uh-huh. And what do you do for a living? Never mind, Mr. Burrows. Where are you from?
You mean, where am I from now, or where was I from originally, or where was I before I was from where I went to last?
Well, any place.
Now you're trying to trap me.
Well, you've earned one hit in the head. Would you like to try for two?
certainly. Ask me a question.
Ask you a question. Do you think I'm a fool?
What a spot I'm in. If I say yes, you'll get mad and you won't give me a prize. If I say no, people will say we're in luck. Groucho, tell me something.
Groucho, you'll have to take off 30 pounds, huh?
From where? Groucho, tell me something. Where were you born?
One foggy night on the Staten Island Ferry on 42nd Street.
What was the ferry doing on 42nd Street?
It was very foggy.
I see. Where were you born originally?
You mean here or in Brooklyn? Now, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be asking these questions.
I can get nosy, too. What's your name and occupation?
Groucho Marx, and I'm a junior housewife.
Were you ever queen for a day?
Please, Mr. Burroughs. How could I be queen for a day?
Well, you're young. You should be willing to try.
Now, look, I'm a quizmaster here.
Shut up. I will now ask myself three questions. If I get the three questions right, I get to sing a couple of my own songs on your program.
But listen, I didn't...
Here we go. 1176. Abner Peabody III. And the George Washington Bridge. Yahoo for me.
1176, Abner Peabody III, and the George Washington Bridge. What's that?
Those are three answers. I'll think up the questions later. Will you fill in for Ma while I walk over to the piano?
Not only that, I'll fill in the piano. Huh? This is really Abe Burrows, the head writer of the Joan Davis Show, the Rudy Valley Show, and last year, the Dinah Shore Show. Mr. Burrows.
These are songs which I wrote because I didn't like other songs. I call them type songs because they suit the various song categories, you know. I have love type songs, nostalgic type songs, topical type songs, mother, father, incubator, all kind of things. Some of them I never even finished. They're just titles. Like I have one called If You Were the Only Girl in the World and I Were the Only Boy, Okay, But Right Now Let Me Alone. However, some of them I did finish. Here's one. It's a memory type song. I like this. It's nostalgic. Like this. I am strolling down memory lane without a single thing to remember. I am strolling down memory lane without even a dying ember. Some folks remember their mothers and others their girlfriends behind. But I am strolling down memory lane without a doggone thing on my mind. I have another song. See the kind of stuff this is? It's nice. It's instructive, intelligent, educational, yet with enough sprightliness to make it dull. I have here a song. It's a love-type song. Exaggerated love-type song. Sort of a you're the only girl in a whole wide world type song like you kind of thing, you know? Like this. Get this piano. Notice the intros all sound the same? They are. I walk along singing, no time for blues or sighs, 'cause by heaven above, I'm in love with the girl with the three blue eyes. You can't upset me, no, none of you's gloomy guys, 'cause by heaven above, I'm in love with the girl with the three blue eyes. What makes her different? Is it the way she walks?
All the way she shakes a pert little skirt, all the way she talks. That's why I'm singing nothing but blue skies. Cupid gave me a shout, and I'm in love with the girl with the three blue, girl with the three blue. Not one, not two, but three blue.
Fine thing, he takes over my show. Who invited that guy to be on my program?
Groucho, it was Larry, that command performance writer.
Oh, I'm Larry Miller. Did somebody mention my name?
Mr. Miller, did you invite Mr. Burroughs onto my show?
I sure did, Mr. Mark.
Uh-huh. Well, you've told the truth, but you're going to pay the consequences anyway. Now, Mr. Miller, do you like pies?
Yeah, I love pies.
Mr. Aberback, bring out the ammunition. Mr. Miller, what kind of pies do you like? Gooseberry?
Well, I do love gooseberry. Then there's apple.
I see. We've got apple here. How do you feel about lemon meringue?
I do love lemon meringue. I could eat all kinds of pies all the time. I can't seem to get enough pies in my face.
Well, that's very interesting.
Darling, don't I get the
yes,
pies?
Yes, Mr. Miller, I'm going to give them to you right now. Hey, Harpo!
Harpo, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, the inimitable Harpo Marx is walking out on the stage, another of the team of famous brothers. Mr. Miller shakes in his boots. Harpo slowly approaches him with a fiendish gleam in his eye and a peach custard in each hand, handed to him by one of our stagehands, and we don't know what he's going to do. He's sort of rearing back. There it went. Mr. Miller scrapes a fingerful of pie from his eye and tastes it. Oh, what a mess, what a mess. You can see Mr. Miller's face. Harpo reloads his trusty arm, takes a second pie. Here comes the strawberry meringue. Oh, no, no. If you could only see this. Oh, here comes another pie. Seems to be a little confusion here. Harpo is beginning to feel sorry for Mr. Miller. He sort of looks around. He whistles at the audience. He's asking, should I or shouldn't I? Oh, poor Mr. Miller. What a mess he is. And he looks around. Audience is saying yes. No, they can't make up their minds. Oh, he puts it in his face. It's a slow, gentle massage, and he's down. Mr. Miller's down. Yes. That must have been a Lord Calvert's meringue.
Well, there's nothing like a little polite comedy on the show, eh?
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.